minute?
Bonus Friday episode remix.
What is this?
Oh my God.
Oh, we came in with two different energies.
It's Friday. I can find your energy.
I can find yours. Friday. Bonus. Friday.
Friday.
And now you do mine. You forgot what I did. Well, you guys didn't forget to...
I got so juiced on Friday energy. I'm sorry, but I lost it. I just gave all my energy away. Here we go. This is where you were at.
You guys didn't forget to leave your phones running and download our bonus episode.
Oh, what if someone did? What if someone's just phone has been playing the Wednesday episode on a loop and then...
just waiting for that new Wednesday episode, but instead we're giving you a Friday one.
Wow. Really messed up your weekend.
Yeah.
Or improved it.
Plug your phone in. It's dead.
Yeah, your phone needs a charge. Oh, boy. Yeah. We're doing a special bonus episode with the Mashup Americans, who are a great podcast on public radio.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they get to do kind of like both like radio and podcasty types of things.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's about it.
Yeah. So we did an interview with them. You know, we did our normal shit.
Yeah.
We took our questions and got voicemail questions with them, and they were in New York. We were here. The technology worked.
It worked.
Surprisingly.
Holy moly. It was so dope.
It was actually very easy. We could see each other. This was wild.
Yeah.
And then we, also had a little clip from one of their episodes.
With a personal friend of the show. She hasn't been on it yet, but we'll get her on sometime soon, Fatima Asghar.
Yeah, so this is like a little it's a sampler platter. So if you don't know us, hi, and you're going to hear our shit. And if you don't know them, check it out.
I think, they talk about it in the episode, so we'll let them do it. But yeah, it's Amy Choi and Rebecca Lehrer, Mashup Americans. Here we go. What's up? How's it going?
Welcome to the Stitcher Studios.
Oh my God.
I know. I've never been to this one.
I think neither have we.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. How is it?
It's very fancy.
Leave us a present somewhere. Just like dig a hole in the wall.
Yeah, just like a hard-boiled egg.
Yeah, just like just hide something. Hide something.
A hard-boiled egg. I was threatening that. I was like, it's the best travel food, and yet it's very inappropriate.
Hard-boiled egg related to the farting guy in the car.
Oh my God, we were on the subway. I'm this 15-year-old, just like suddenly walked by us and goes, "You're up."
But like comically, like a sound effect,
like a fart joke, and then it kept going, and he like was grabbing his butt, like it was like, it felt like he was gonna maybe poop.
Oh no!
And then walked back the other way.
But then it felt like maybe
it was a practical joke.
He was trolling everyone.
Hard to say, because then he walked back to his friends, and he very comfortably sat down. I was like, if you had been concerned about shitting your pants, I would hope that you wouldn't actually sit down on the subway car.
Right.
Right. You'd stand there and kind of shift.
But it was at the B train on, like, at DeKalb, so he actually missed the chance to get off. You know what I mean? Like, he had to go over the whole bridge.
I'm going to say, I think he had to maybe just fart and wanted to do it away from his friends.
That's what I thought, but it was so loud that the entire subway car was like,
what? What?
And then I laughed because farts are funny.
I'm going to say this. We're in the episode. We're doing it. We're doing it.
Farts are funny.
Yeah.
Because we're here with the farting ass Mashup Americans.
They don't want to be introduced like that. No one wants that. They're not the farting people. No.
That's true. It's the fart police. Amy Choi, Rebecca Lehrer are back. You guys were here last before Tawny joined, so this is like a new meeting for everyone.
And were you in, did you do this cool, so for the listener, we're doing this very cool bi-coastal recording where they are in New York, they're in the Stitcher Studios there, we are in our same old trash-ass Hollywood.
I haven't even moved from the seat.
Nope.
I've been here 2 weeks now.
But is that how you guys did it the last time they were on?
Well, we were actually,
Rebecca
and
was out here,
in L.A.
Okay.
And, Amy was in New York.
Yeah.
Because Amy and I always do our show bi-coastally.
Yeah.
So Amy's based here and I'm like extremely pregnant. So this was the last week I felt like I could leave home.
Oh, yeah.
Did we make a birth plan for her in New York City?
We did.
Facts.
I was like, tight. Where is the best NICU? Okay.
Yeah.
NYU. Got it. Yeah. Just in case.
Yeah, nice. You got to have that.
Planners.
I know from where we sit right now, there's a real East Coast, West Coast thing.
Rivalry.
But no, the reality is, not only is it not, this is heavily still a West Coast episode, but also y'all are actually good at talking across the country. We're okay at it.
We're okay at it. The video is helping.
I'm real bad at it.
You know what I'm finding as maybe a very self-absorbed person, I can't really say, is that I find it distracting that I can't see my own image on the screen
here.
Because I'm so used to
Wait, no, you're there. You're just tiny.
No, I know. You don't have to make... No one has to make it bigger. I'm okay. I'm just saying that, like, I'm aware that I'm like, where am I and how do I look?
Sure, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well,
and you guys look great.
Ooh,
I'll tell you that you look great. So allow me to be your mirror. You look great. You both look very New York. You're both in black, like the titular
That's
city.
Cool. Yeah, you guys do look extra cool today.
Yeah.
You know what you're missing out on, though, is that we just came from K-Town and ate so much food. So the fragrance coming off of our bodies
is
real strong.
We've got a little Kalbi.
Wow.
A little
if we're doing that, I just ate smoked salmon with my hands in the Earwolf break room.
There's a bagel spread.
And we are touching that microphone.
We are on a fucking clock, and yet we're still wasting fucking time. Wait, how about this? No. This is entirely not even Tawny's fault. I was gonna say our fault, but it's fully my fault. For anyone, I can't imagine who it actually might be of our listeners who don't know who you guys are, but can you tell them about yourselves a little bit? About Mashup Americans specifically? What if you just told non-Mashup American stuff?
We just talked about other things?
Yeah.
I was like, have you seen Game of Thrones?
What's Mashup Americans?
The mashup, this is Amy, by the way, BTW. You can't tell that I'm Asian from my voice. So actually, part of the Mashup Americans is I always say, this is Amy Choi.
You got to let them know.
There's an Asian girl back here. We are a podcast media company. We publish news and narratives and stories on our website. Our whole mission is to explore what it means to be American today. And we'd like to say that we are your guide to hyphen America. So everybody who has their feet and their hands in all different kinds of cultures, figuring out the tensions between that and the beauty in that, and really just trying to celebrate and at this point defend the best way that we see of being American. I think when we started back in 2013, we always kind of saw ourselves as like a party. It was a real celebration of people who were immigrants, first generation, people of color, people who were like polyglots. And then turns out we now feel strongly that we are a cause.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think also,
I think we could relate. Yeah.
You one time, I think you sort of characterize it as we're like, you're like you were like our evil twin.
Yeah, we're like, much meaner than you guys are. Although, again, that might be more my fault than Tawny's fault. I keep saying we.
No,
throwing Tawny under the bus.
I like being the mean twin.
I will say actually one thing that you guys do is you actually do like corporate e-consulting-y type stuff. So every time we joke about Yo, Is This Racist Corporate. People should actually go to Mashup Americans and get real help.
Or no, you should
from people that know what the fuck they're talking about.
We're your mashup friends.
Mm-hmm.
Like just don't
we
do
will
that.
Help you.
Yeah,
but we do have a policy though. If you are a straight up asshole, our policy is no to assholes.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's a good policy.
Well, we have a little. We have. See, I told you we had something.
We have that policy, except for ourselves.
Yeah, and also we call a lot of people assholes who are probably
fine. Yeah, that's true. So there's an asterisk.
I know. I've been working on not saying everybody's dumb.
Yeah, it's rough.
People, I'm like, well, they're just so dumb. Everyone's so stupid.
They're coming from different places. All right, here we're gonna do a voicemail. Let's start with a voicemail and then keep this conversation going.
What's up, y'all? My wife and I love watching the show Kim's Convenience. We love quoting it. We think it's hilarious. I'm Korean. My wife is white. And some of the things that we quote are the ear hooky kind of broken English phrases that the parents say because they think it's funny. And it's funny in the same way that, like, a baby learning how to speak broken English is cute and funny. But when we quote it, sometimes we use accents, and I don't know how that makes me feel. I don't want the joke to be about, like, oh, this is a Korean guy using a dumb accent, an affected accent, to make this joke. And also, like, my wife, I don't know how I feel about her using an accent. just like, because I know she's not being racist, but also, like, how do you deliver the joke if it's not in the accent? So just looking for your thoughts on that. Yep. Okay. Bye.
Oh, I love this one.
I'm realizing several things. One is that I think I might just be trying to make Amy the bad guy or make someone else the bad guy to talk shit about Asian people besides me.
I am happy to step into this role, yes. Andrew, and thank you for inviting me to do that. One, I think it is very hard to be married to white people. I am not, so I don't share that particular challenge.
He's not Asian and he's not Korean.
He's Korean.
No,
isn't that what he said?
I'm saying your husband.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. My husband is not Korean, and he's not Asian, but he's not white.
Right.
Guess Who.
I'm just more like her husband is Mexican, Colombian, American, mm-hmm. right? And so I'm just saying that, like, it could be a similar circumstance, right? Like, if he's doing an impression of.
Mm-hmm. Well, so here comes to my second point. The first was just a piece of empathy.
Yeah, white people are hard.
I mean, yes. White people are hard.
The second we all agree.
Is that to me, any kind of joke that the meat of the joke is about the punch to somebody's ethnicity is not a good joke. Mm-hmm. Just do better, right? It's different for the actors because they're playing characters. It's different for somebody who kind of owns, who is of that group, to tease and poke lovingly. But if the joke is that the person is Asian and has an accent on their English, then the joke isn't funny. So I don't think that the white lady can say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like this because I also like the theme of, like, some jokes just aren't for you. Like, some shit just isn't for you to repeat. Like, you can laugh at it, but, like, that's not for you. I have a really close friend who I won't name, but she's Korean-American, and we used to do this silly voice that was based off of, like, an old sketch comedy thing we used to do. It was, like, not an accent. It was just a weird voice. Over time, she trolled me into slowly morphing it into, like, a very stereotypical Korean accent. Mm-hmm. And we were out once and kind of doing the voice, and I went, oh, my God, you've changed it. And she was like, yeah. And I was like, oh, shit, this isn't for me anymore. But it was very funny to me because,
that's a high-level joke.
It was kind of great.
That's a high-level prank.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I was like,
trick his friend into being racist.
Yeah. But yeah, like, some shit just isn't for you to say, man.
Man. All right, fine.
Or your wife.
I still have to be the guy that's too hard on Asian people. But what I do want to add to all of this is that, like, I also think we as Asian folks can do a little better than the accent thing, frankly. You know what I mean? I just think, like, as a joke, I'm personally a little tired of it, you know, because it was, like, fresh when Margaret Cho was doing it in the 90s.
Oh, so, man.
Although still today, I think if you go back, some of her, I mean, and she's my, I fucking love her, right? Like, I truly adore her and I adore what she has done. And I love how she learns from her mistakes. And some of her material has not aged well.
Sure.
But some of it, when she makes fun of her mom, she's just imitating her mom's voice. But the shit her mom says is ridiculous for any mom to say.
Yeah. Well, you know? I think so it's an audience thing a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, like for sure there are white people laughing for the wrong reasons at that bit.
Right.
Oh, although, okay, so we just did a live show in Chicago.
Nice.
Oh my God, you guys are going to die.
Which you guys, I think, have done too.
Yes.
And it was a great event. It was like Friday night. It was great. And we got like some of the survey results, which I refuse to read because I'm like, I don't care. But this one woman, so Asian woman, mm-hmm. who's like describing something about the show, the way a particular guest spoke, and that it mortified her that this person didn't speak super eloquently because there were white people in the audience.
Not just her, but that we as hosts and as women of color having a bad performance was personally humiliating because we were doing it in front of an audience that had so many white people in it. And I was like, listen, bitch, if I'm gonna fuck up, I'm happy to do it in front of white people because we don't perform for white people.
Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm.
You don't, like, have to perform who you are or be who you are in order to somehow impress white people.
True.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I was like, get out of here. But anyways, the point is that your audience, it does really matter. Like any kind of joke, especially, we've talked a lot about this on our show, the sort of inside voice, outside voice.
Mm-hmm. Thing, oh, that's a great way of putting it. Yeah, great.
Inner tribe or outer tribe. Like you might do an amazing impression of your mom that the accent is fundamental and it does make it funnier for whatever reason. But who you're telling it to and how I laugh at it versus your other Chinese friends is really different.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it.
Oh, man.
Yeah. The thing about people laughing at it for the wrong reasons, like, again, that can feel really bad.
Yeah.
Right? And you're like, oh, suddenly this thing that was like actually pretty endearing and tender and like personal to me then became somehow embarrassing or like hurtful. Mm. I think part of the work that like I'm trying to do personally is to be like, I don't care why that this is not for that person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So to like not care as much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why that person's laughing.
Although, guys, I went to this Future Ladies of Wrestling thing in LA, mm-hmm. which is like queer women doing kind of WrestleMania. It's so awesome. And I didn't grow up really watching WWE or F or whatever it is now, but it was so fun because it was owned by them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the performers and the kind of even the sexuality and the like wearing tight things was totally owned in the experience.
Yeah.
And there was obviously a Four Non Blonde sing along and I was crying.
That's
laughing.
A hook. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? But it was such a special experience because there was a different ownership of like the performance. I don't know.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
I think, that's an excellent rejoinder too, which is like maybe I spend too much time worrying about what fucking the worst white people think and how they react.
Maybe.
So.
And I'll be a supreme bitch on the end of this conversation and just say, quoting TV shows in general makes you so lame. Don't do it. Don't fucking do it. They wrote the joke. The joke happened. You enjoyed it. No,
don't.
Be your own funny out in the world.
All right, we got to do another voicemail. Here we go.
Hello, Andrew, Tawny, and guest. I am from England, just trying my best. My mother is white British, my father is Turkish, and I am white. And people say, oh, you don't look Turkish. And my instant reaction is, what does a Turkish person look like? Is this racist? What should I say? Cool. Love the show. Thanks. Bye.
I have realized, and I think I did this last time you are on the show, we're 2 for 2 on non-American things, technically. So for the mashup Americans, we do apologize. But this does feel like a very mashup-y question. Heavy mashup, light American.
Oh, you were saying non-American being because Kim's Convenience is Canadian?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. How dare you? I'm
sorry.
So offended. Okay, so this is Rebecca.
That was a very seductive voicemail, though.
Oh,
It was a bit much.
I actually had to move away from the mic as if like that was going to give me distance from it. Like, yeah. There was something too intimate.
It was too intimate. I feel like she was really like, I better call in during their morning time. So it was like 4 a.m. in the UK.
That actually is true. Let's see. It was like 9 p.m. Maybe she'd had a couple quote-unquote pints.
Yeah.
Wow, anyway. We are fully wasting time. Go ahead.
I think as a person who gets told things like that pretty regularly, I would say it, and this isn't particularly funny, but it just being like, well, I am. It's like there's not really much more you can say, or you're not. Again, maybe the lesson here is like, who are you explaining something to?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
First of all, also, Turkish people actually do look all sorts of ways. And and also it doesn't matter. Like that person doesn't matter. And it must happen to her a lot, I'm sure. And it also probably feels hurtful because it digs into her, I'm being fake psychologist, but like into her own insecurity about her.
Yeah.
Where she belongs, right? So that's part of it. And that we're all kind of, it's a very mashup question, so thank you. But it's like how we're navigating that and like who matters to acknowledge it and like are you enough of anything? But really to say like oh, well, I am.
Yeah.
Like, the yeah. end.
It just shuts yeah. it down.
I just don't think there's like, well, you know, the Turkish people in this part of the, you know, like, did you know that Istanbul is both in Asia and Europe?
Like, yeah, like you don't owe them a geography matter. Lesson.
No, right. like there's many Armenians in Turkey. Oh, well, that's another story. Yeah. Like, no, it's just to simply say like, no, like I am.
Yeah.
I like to like be a little jerkier because I'll get things Good. Like that yes. a lot too where people are like, what are you, blah, 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 and just be like, what? What? And like act so stunned like they've revealed something to me.
Oh, that's even better. I like that actually.
But then it doesn't. What I like about yours is it ends the interaction.
Yeah.
Mine inevitably invites them to get mad.
Yeah, it's like how much energy you have for yeah. the next 15 minutes. It's like, are we going to do this?
Yeah.
You have Tawny. So,
wait, Tawny, what do people say to you that they're like, what is the thing? They're like, you don't look X.
Oh, their favorite thing sometimes is to say that, like, I get this sometimes from black people that even though I'm light skinned, my hair is like incredibly tight, curly. And for the listeners, because the last time I said this, listeners were like, your hair looks pretty loose. I was like, that's a process, honey. The natural state is incredibly tight curls, which is not often associated with mixed people. So a lot of people are like, how can you have a white parent and your hair is like all the way back home? So that just comes from like black people. And then like white people just want me to be all sorts of things I'm not. They want me to be Latinx. They want me to be all kinds of things. And I'm just like, I don't know what to tell you. I'm not. So yeah. it's just a constant.
And then you put on an accent just to bring it around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Make up an accent.
I just start talking like a very intimate British woman.
Boom. I did want to say really quickly, one thing that I think comes up that's tricky for people who are mixed race but white passing is like trying to ride the line of sort of the inevitable privilege they also have too, which is I think that's a thing that it sounds like our callers also like grappling with a little bit, is that like I'm sure white people say all kinds of wild shit to her, was similarly to Rebecca, where you're like, oh boy, like y'all don't know who I am.
I almost stabbed the man watching Fox News next to me on the airplane. I was like, he was just like casually doing Sudoku and watching it. I was like, how can, what?
Yeah.
Do you not, I'm watching it on mute and I feel the Oof. Racism and sexism coming through, like watching it on his screen and just screaming,
We talked about this a little bit last episode, but you really, what you got to do is take your laptop or something hard and basically try to clip his elbow with it.
Andrew likes to try to injure people.
Yeah.
Well, here's what I'll say about this hard-boiled egg. Older man watching Fox News. No matter what I did as an 8-month pregnant woman, it didn't seem to affect his sense of where his personal space could extend to.
Interesting.
Like, he did not give a shit.
Ugh, men are so gross.
Interesting that he'd be a huge asshole. No, you're correct. All right, we're going to do this last voicemail. Here we go.
Hey, Tawny, Andrew, and guest. My name's Tim. I was wondering if the ethnonym African-American is essentially racist since it was used to divide Americans. I came up with this hypothesis in history class, and yes, it was a predominantly white suburb. Yes, I was the only black kid in class, and yes, it was in February. So, if you guys can let me know what you think. I may be crazy for thinking this, but it would be helpful if I had some help. Thanks.
I do like audibly stoned callers.
Yeah. Also, like history class in a suburb. Do we got a bona fide teenager calling in? Are we cool and hip with the kids?
Oh my God.
Are we rad with the youth, you guys?
We're sorry we swear so much to this.
Oh, man, we're so hip and cool. I can't believe we've got the old Generation Y tuning in.
Oh, yeah.
Or Z. Are they Z?
Z.
I don't know.
Z.
We don't care until they're old enough to buy mattresses.
Lisa. Hopefully still. Anyway.
The phrase African-American or those types of phrases, does it feel, I mean, I mostly feel like African-American is one of those things that just feels very outdated. Like, are people too uncomfortable to say black?
Yeah, it feels like no one with any black friends, like you just don't have any black friends, so you're just trying to be nice, which I'm like, I'm not that mad at you, but it does give me a peek into your dinner party circle, you know, when you don't just say black.
But I think the larger thing with the hyphenate that I think maybe is more relates to, again, Master of Americans, is the hyphen American-ness of it.
Yeah, how do you guys feel about all the hyphen Americans out there?
I fucking love it.
Yeah, I love it. You know, it's interesting, speaking of the British lady, is that in the UK, it's flipped.
Mm.
So you would be like, I'm, you know, I'm British Chinese.
Or, oh, so sure.
It, you flip where the hyphen is.
God, I'm so glad we dumped their fucking tea in that harbor.
I know. Goodbye. Goodbye. We love hyphen because it actually, and not for African American, that has, what he was saying, I think, has just like a totally different kind of weight to it.
Mm-hmm. But I think we
but Black, I mean, American.
Black, yeah. American, mm-hmm. Or you would say like, I mean, many, many people in our circle are first-generation African-American, mm-hmm. the same way that I am first-generation Asian-American, or Rebecca's first-generation Salvadoran-American. Like, that, mm-hmm. then they would say, like, oh, I'm Ethiopian-American, like, yeah, or Nigerian-American.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or,
it's more specific.
Yeah, I think that feels more normal, like Kenyan-American or something.
Yeah, maybe that's it, because African-American really underlines the portion of the population who mm-hmm. don't know what the country is. And
but then how do you feel about Asian American versus, say, Chinese American or Korean American? Like, I obviously on our show we would never be like,
and
we
Asian
have an
American.
Asian American guest.
Yeah.
We were talking to Aline Brosh McKenna this season, who's one of the co-creators of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, and one of the things that we were talking about, the specificity of the Filipino character, right? And like, she was like, yeah, it started because this guy, the actor, who, forgive me, I can't remember his name right now, but that he was like always vaguely, it was just like vaguely Asian,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
on any show. He was just, and then he'd be like, well, what's the backstory? They're like, he's Asian.
Yeah.
He's like, I know, I'm Asian. But it's, can we get a little more specific?
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I think largely it's because there isn't a humongous general Asian diaspora that, you know, again, doesn't know where in Asia they're from. So that's why the phrase Asian American is a little more acceptable.
Well, it almost just sounds like the person saying it doesn't know where they're from. Like, if I say someone's Asian American, it's because I don't know what country they're from. So it's a little, it's not terrible, but it's a little like, oh, why don't I know that? But whereas if anyone says African American, I'm just like, yeah, you're talking about those of us who have no records of where we're from.
Yeah, we get it.
Oh, my God. Who haven't had Skip Gates do their Finding Their Roots
yet.
Right.
Holy shit. We, unfortunately, are out of time.
No!
What?
I'm so sorry.
Dang, you guys are the best. We could do this for a long time.
Truly terrific. Yeah. But can you tell people where they can see, hear, read more, etc. from you?
Yes. So if you go to mashupamericans.com, we have all of articles from everything, like learning about, you know, what else? learning about hair, or how we talk about our bodies, or things we feel guilty about, or, you know, dating advice we got from our immigrant parents, and also our podcasts. You can go to applepodcast.com/mashup or anywhere you listen.
You can subscribe to our newsletter, mashupamericans.com/newsletter.
And we have a new season out with, you know, 6 mashups to know, people that we just think are the shit. And so it's everyone from Dr. Lena Wen, who's the new newish president of Planned Parenthood. She is so amazing. Taiwanese American,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Also Taiwanese American, Ai-Jen Poo. It's a theme, Andrew.
Anytime.
Ai-Jen Poo.
Hit me up at the Taiwanese American Society.
I know. Sometimes I'm like, okay. No, National Domestic Workers Alliance, and a whole bunch of other. It turns out only women, so don't feel bad. I don't feel bad about that.
You shouldn't. No.
This season's entirely mashup women.
Yeah, please tune in. I think the pitch for our listeners would be, if all the negativity and occasional extreme ignorance gets you down, tune into Mashup Americans.
Yeah, they have facts and hope.
Yeah, they know what the fuck they're talking about.
It's complimentary.
Oh, yeah. But thank you guys so much for joining
us.
This really has been lovely.
Thank
Let's do
you.
It again.
Thank you.
To go back to what you said about, you know, often the most easily identifiable part of your identity is your race.
Mm-hmm.
And I think something that, you know, really that we found compelling with your Brown Girl series is that it's about brown girls, but it's not necessarily about Pocky girls mm-hmm. or Muslim girls or, you know, and in of which in Chicago, where it's set, there's a strong community there.
Mm-hmm.
How did the Brown Girl series kind of come to be like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, it's like a lot of my friendships are with women of color and queer people of color. Like, that's just like the way that all, like, it is kind of the natural inclination of so much of my friendships, and really kind of existing in these communities of color. And kind of, I just feel like I never get to see that on screen. So it was this thing of just being like, huh, usually when you have two women of color in the same capacity on screen, they're often at each other. Like, you know, they're often like in conflict with each other, or like, you know, fighting for the same boy or the same job, or kind of catty and whatever. And that just felt so not like my friendships at all. And so it kind of was just a thing of just being like, but this is what my friendships are like. You know, it's like I see we're all friends. Like, we're all, you know, we're all different, but we're all friends. And that's just kind of the natural progression of what I've always felt in my life. And that kind of like active thing of being friends, you know, where you're just like, you don't even realize it, but you're like, yeah, I'm friends with people who all like are people of color, but we're all from different backgrounds. And like, that's just normal. And so that it just felt like a very normal kind of thing in terms of the construction of the show, because that's like the construction of my life.
What are your favorite shows right now? What are you watching that kind of inspires you and you feel excited about?
I love Fleabag. I love Atlanta. I love Legion. So I kind of have I love Game of Thrones. I kind of have a wide of taste in what I really, really love. But usually it's around like characters I find compelling and story structure that I find innovative.
We think about, you know, like we say it a lot, that it's very, very hard to be something if you can't see it. You know, if you can't see it, you can't be it. Not impossible, just very difficult. Who did you see growing up that made you think, okay, well, I can have this life. I can be a writer and a poet and a creator and an academic fellow all at the same time?
It was a lot of my friends. You know, it was like we were all young and trying to be artists together. And it was kind of this thing where I realized, like, I was just like, everything else makes me miserable. Like, you know, I kind of resent any time that I'm taken away from writing and that I'm taking away from creating something. And so I kind of was like, okay, well, I don't know how to do this, but we're just going to try. But it really kind of came from like my friends who were my same age, who were in my same year, you know, who are a year above me, a year below me, who were kind of just like, cool, like, we don't know how to do this, but we're just going to see. We're just going to kind of like go perform at open mics and go on these like Greyhound bus tours for like $50 a show and, you know, and sleep on people's couches and kind of just like figure it out. And so it really kind of existed there for me. It was actually in a really like hyper local world. It wasn't in a like, oh, I saw this celebrity and that made me think something. That's just totally not my path in terms of that way. And it was really just seeing these like young people of color kind of make things on their own terms and make their own kind of paths of life and kind of pump money into each other, you know, and kind of self-sustain a circuit of money where we're buying each other's chapbooks and where we're paying each other to come perform in our living rooms, but then we're also getting paid by each other to go perform in their living rooms, you know, kind of keeping that money tight in those circles.
I love that. I love the image of everybody in each other's living rooms.
Mm-hmm. And also just paying each other the same money.
Yeah, it's like just a money handover. Yeah.
Yeah. A beautiful little circle.
Just out of respect, you should always be paid. Here's $20. Yes. Next week, you pay me $20.
Is there a place now where you see your experience reflected that is not something that you have made?
Unfortunately, no. Not quite yet. I mean, I think that there is moments or small slivers. Like, I remember when I first saw the ads for like Quantico and I saw Priyanka Chopra on like bus stops and I was like, I've never seen a South Asian woman on a bus stop, you know, and that was like really, really cool. But that's not my, you know, I'm not a FBI agent who's like, yeah, who's like, you know, wrestling with the world.
Married to Nick Jonas.
Yeah. So there's like small moments of, and it comes in really different ways. You know, like I saw American Honey and I loved American Honey. That's not my experience, but I felt really seen in that, you know. So there's just kind of ways that I think you just continue to graft yourself onto things that you love and that you feel emotionally connected to in certain ways. So I think that there's definitely small things like that. But in terms of like a holistic, like, is this thing a thing that completely gets me or completely sees me? I don't think so. But I think that that's very much a part of like the work of an artist is like, it doesn't matter even if like you have someone who has the exact same identity tropes as you, they're not you. And so they probably don't have the same outlooks to every single component of your life that you do. And you don't always feel reflected in their work.
But there's also can be a drive there, right? Like that drives you to tell your story even more, or tell the stories you want to tell.
Totally.
Right? I mean, that's part of it.
Sometimes I think about when I see things that have, like, South Asian people who – where maybe I just, like, don't agree with, or I just, like, feel my loneliness actually feels amplified because I'm like, wow, that's just so not my experience. That's usually a motivator for me to be like, I want to tell this story, or I want to kind of do this thing in a way where, like, what people kind of sometimes talk about, like, with, like, Sex and the City or something, where they're like, yeah, there's just, like, no people of color on that show, and that just made me feel really, really lonely, and I want, like, things that have, you know, where like, women of color get to talk about sex and talk about whatever. I think that all of that is, like, so legit. It's, like, it can be a driving force, or it can be a thing of, like, wow, this is so beautiful and I really love it, but, like, I still don't see myself. And so it's a way of, like, opening a little bit more of the idea of possibility of what I can do in my art making.
And also, I mean, I think as a creative person, but not, I wouldn't say I'm an artist in any way, but there's a way, and also when it's not my story that's reflected, but rather the community around me or my world is, that's also really wonderful and exciting too. I mean, even in a silly way, but, like, you know, to all the boys I've loved before, for me watching that, it's not like, oh my gosh, I'm a young Korean or Hapa, Korean Hapa girl who is a teen. Like, there was that part of the story isn't, but there's the part that there's this, like, smart girl who reads, sure, but also just, like, that's that woman, Lara Jean, looks like my friends, and that world looks like my world, and the way she interacts with her friends and her boyfriend or Dreamboat McGee is also reflective of the world I live in, and that moves me deeply.
Yeah,
in that, like, it again, it's not, that's not my story, but it's the story of my world.
Right, right.
And whereas in I watch a story where there's just, like, only white people, and I'm like, this just doesn't, what is this? It doesn't look like my life and the dynamics or the, like.
You know what's so funny as you say that, and I'd never really thought about this before, and, like, God bless John Hughes and his problematic 80s movies in hindsight, but also all of those, like, uber white teenage movies that we watched, because they were actually set in the suburbs of Chicago, I was like, oh, I know all of this.
Totally.
It does feel like my world.
Totally.
Now I look back and I'm like, Jesus.
What is that? But it is, but right.
Yeah.
There is a way that did reflect, like, even just visually, or the school dynamics, of course, not
Long Duck Dong.
That right. Although, frankly, the fact that there's only one Asian person in that school probably did reflect your experience. Like, I mean, I do think that there is something, like, that feels important too. Like, seeing to your point, Fatima, is there, like, there's different signifiers.
Yeah.
And there's different ways you can either feel more alone or more connected into the thing.
I mean, there's nothing, I think you're right, like, nothing lonelier than trying to take in an experience or a cultural moment that on the outside should be for you and not feeling a part of it. And you're like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Like, my outsiderness has just been, it's been made in triplicate here.
Yeah.
Like, what
it's
is
such
going
a,
on?
It's such a painful moment where you're like, wow, how does this feel so wrong, you know? And, like, I'm being told that it's supposed to make me feel at home, and it really doesn't, you know? And I think that that's just such a awful feeling.
Hey, this is Arnie Niekamp from the improv fantasy podcast Hello from the Magic Tavern. I fell through a dimensional portal behind a Burger King in Chicago into the magical land of Foon, and I started a podcast. Season 3 has just begun with a brand new adventure to defeat the Dark Lord. If you're a new listener or you've fallen behind, Season 3 is a great jumping on point. And we've got great guests like Justin McElroy.
I sound like a fancy college professor. 8 knots.
Rachel Bloom.
You all see my collection of men corpses and one woman.
Felicia Day and Colton Dunn.
You've seen me have intercourse with a variety of species.
It's a bummer.
Andy Daly.
You have the members of Genesis listed, but Phil Collins is crossed out and then circled and crossed out again.
Yes, I have killed Phil Collins twice.
Thomas Middleditch.
Jesus! I mean, Jazos! Ruler of the Eighth Circle!
And that's just the beginning. Season 3 of Hello from the Magic Tavern is out now. Listen in Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.